The following program is being broadcast on the Amazing Women of Power, the world's leading positive programming network, powered by Raven International. This show contains motivational language and may not be suitable for negative listeners.
Schemes. I'll choose my friends because apparently they're choosing me. The time is now to pay attention to my destiny.
From his humble studio in Orange County, California, comes a young songwriter with a dream, encouraging others to go after their dreams. Learning from the best in the business and passing it along to you, it's Strongwriter on the radio.
I had the blues, but I made it better, baby. That's why I wrote this song. And now you can sing along.
Yeah. My mind's made up to explore what a girl writes. How you doing, everybody? This is Dean Olson. I am the Strong Writer on the radio, helping songwriters and artists keep musically fit. And the way I love to do that is through faith and encouragement, by learning from the best in the business and passing it along to you. And just recently, I got to learn from the best in the business, someone who is a very creative and extremely talented songwriter, as well as a warm and wonderful human being. I'm talking about Grammy-nominated songstress Shelly Piken. Let that sink in for just a moment. Her name may not ring a bell, but her songs are certainly going to strike a chord with you. She's probably best known for two number one hits in the U.S. that she co-wrote, and those are What a Girl Wants and Come On Over Baby, All I Want Is You by Christina Aguilera. And then she was nominated for a Grammy for the number two hit on Billboard, Bitch by Meredith Brooks, that she co-wrote, and also a hit by Brandy, Almost Doesn't Count, which hit number 16. But these four songs are only what Shelly has put at the top of her resume, and rightly so, but you have to see the list of songs. Dozens upon dozens upon dozens of songs, mostly co-written and recorded by the hottest pop stars and the hottest bands, ranging from the 1980s to the present. She had her first song, Carry Your Heart, recorded by Taylor Dayne in 1986, and then that album went triple platinum. Ever since that time, she's had her songs that she wrote recorded by such artists as Samantha Fox, Taylor Dayne, Sweet Sensation, Natalie Cole, Gloria Gaynor, Exposé, The Pretenders, Celine Dion, Brandy, Selena Gomez, Jennifer Love Hewitt, Lindsay Lohan, you can see there's a pop star thing going on there, Miley Cyrus, Hailey Duff, Demi Lovato, Christina Aguilera, you can see a lot of Disney girls in there, and the list is just too long to keep going on. You can Google her and find out everybody, but as you can tell, she is very much in demand and stays relevant, and that's a testament to her, because as a songwriter, I believe her staying power has a lot to do with her professionalism and just the speculation that she is a warm, pleasant, and beautiful person to work with. That's the vibe I got when I talked to her, and she knows her stuff. Currently, she is a blogger for the Huffington Post online, where she writes about her experiences as a songwriter and the challenges she faces in the music business, and she really has a lot of insight and opinions about getting paid and all the pros and cons about being a songwriter. And she's working on her first book, Confessions of a Serial Songwriter. All the information on the book and her blog and everything about Shelly is at her website, www.shellypiken.com. Shelly is spelled S-H-E-L-L-Y. Piken is spelled P-E-I-K-E-N. Go there, get on her mailing list, and you'll be the first to receive updates on when that book is available. But now, I present to you a conversation by your starstruck host, Dean Olson. And without further ado, here she is, Shelly Piken. And I'll talk to you at the end. Here we go. I don't usually get out of my house a lot, but I love songwriting and meeting songwriters so much that I make the time. So in 2014, I forced myself to come out of my little hermit cave like I used to when I wanted to network with people. And when I discovered that Shelly Piken was going to speak on a panel for the Society of Composers and Lyricists, I made an effort to attend and hopefully meet her, and I got to. And this is wonderful. This is like getting, there she is right there on the phone saying, "Oh, how are you, Shelly? How's your day going?"
I'm so good. good. The day is perfect so far. Sunny, just couldn't be better.
I'll tell you what, Shelley, I've interviewed some great songwriters, artists, producers, etc., and it doesn't really matter who I'm talking to. I get nervous every time I get ready, kind of like you probably do even when you start to write a song.
It's, you know what, Dean? Yeah. No, I've been doing this for over 20 years, and there's still a little part of me that feels uncomfortable, not uncomfortable in a bad way.
Yeah.
But whenever I'm meeting someone new or getting into a room, I wonder, will I have what it takes? Will I be able to have the goods that day? And I always, I don't surprise myself. That would be the wrong word. I 99% of the time I come through, but I think it's sort of good at the beginning of that session to have a little bit of tension and wonder.
It's sort of that friction or that tension creates the magic sometimes, doesn't it?
I think it does.
Yeah.
I think, what is it? I think too much, if you're too self-assured or content, there is no tension with which to draw an idea.
And even over the years, all the, I'll get to what you do in a second, just in case people don't recognize the name Shelley Piken. I did when I, that's how my eyes and ears perked up and I saw your name and I saw that you were going to be at a place where I could go to that I didn't have to pay or be a member or anything
like that. Was it that at the Village?
Yeah, it was at the Village Recorder. And you know what? Herb Alpert was downstairs doing a serious XM broadcast.
There's a lot of history in that place. And
yeah.
There's still a lot going on.
Absolutely.
It's magical.
Yeah, the man who runs that place is very nice to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I get off track, and you'll find that out very soon, that I get a little scatterbrained here when I'm talking. But I had to get notes on you only because I would not be able to memorize the long list of songs that you either co-wrote or wrote yourself. Most of them were collaborations, though, weren't they?
Most of them were. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you find that comforting?
I like the company.
Yes. But
I like songwriters. I like the way songwriters think. I do love writing by myself. That's usually something that happens by accident.
Mm-hmm.
I love making plans, and I love being in the room with other songwriters of like mind.
Let's bring people up to speed on how great you are, Shelley.
If you say so.
Okay. Like I said before, I get a little nervous. It's a little bit like meeting your heroes, kind of like if you got to meet, say, Todd Rundgren or somebody like that. You know,
I'd be speechless.
Yeah, you'd be going, humma, humma.
I would.
I was about to say something about Todd, but let's save that for a minute. The three or four songs that you are congratulated for is, let's start with the biggest one. Number one hit in 1999 or something like that, What a Girl Wants.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Come On Over Baby, All I Want Is You. Fantastic.
Uh-huh.
Now,
thank
was that
you.
That second one, were you only involved in the single version or the album version? Was it two different?
Come On Over Baby, All I Want Is You. You're correct. What a Girl Wants, it was just Guy Roche and I in a room, and mm-hmm. we started it from scratch and finished it. Come On Over Baby was a song that was finished, and I was called to see if I could, quote unquote, tighten up the lyrics on the verse. I wanted to make sure that the original writers, and there were quite a few of them,
mm-hmm.
were aware I was being asked to do this and that I had their blessing, because otherwise jumping on somebody else's copyright is not really cool.
No.
And they were good with it, and I thought that they were pretty good as they were, but Ron Fair at the label heard it a little differently and wanted them to be a little different in certain ways, and I gave it a go. I wasn't a fool. I wasn't going to say no thank you. Ask somebody else, and I seemed to have come through with whatever he was, you know, wanting or had envisioned it, and so I think that I'm pretty sure that the version on the original record is different from the single that was released to radio.
That's interesting. My daughter had the CD back then, and that's all I knew was the album version.
But uh-huh.
Once I found out that you were involved in writing those two, because I like to look at the liner notes. I love to just sort of peek at who did it, because oftentimes you're very surprised to find out that the artist didn't actually write that song.
Uh-huh.
You know, because a lot of times they have such confidence and they own that vocal that you think, oh, well, that's about her life or his life, you
mm-hmm.
know?
Well, you know, when I was growing up, I think I was under the notion that every song was written by the artist who sang it.
Right.
When I started buying albums and realized that there were things like liner notes, that there was like a material thing you could actually pull out and read, I started reading them. And I realized how many people were involved in a song. It was, you know, either just one songwriter or two or three, unusual to before.
Yeah.
And the musicians and the producer and the engineers, and it was really interesting to have information like that. I usually was attracted to the artists who wrote their own material, singer-songwriters who wrote their own material.
Right.
But I'm very thankful that there were singers out there that didn't, because I was able to make a career from that.
You sure did.
And of course, there are still artists out there who write, who are self-contained, that's what we call them,
mm-hmm.
and writers who only write what they, only sing what they write, and artists who like to merge with other song or singwriters to help them say what's on their mind. They might have a lot of great deep thoughts and a lot of ingredients, and they maybe need somebody from outside their world to help them bake their cake.
Yeah. Oh, nice. That's a good way you're putting all that. Did you win a Grammy or was nominated
for
a Grammy?
No, I was nominated for a Grammy.
That's good enough. That's
it felt like winning to me.
No, it isn't. You wish there was that cool little statue that you could put on your...
You know, that would be gravy, but honestly, yeah. That nomination felt like a win. In my heart, it was a win. It wasn't a win of the Grammy.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a win.
Yes.
You know, it was such a great feeling. I'm not sure how much more that statue would have made me feel. How much better it would have made me feel.
How many nominations? Was it
one?
Was it just for Meredith Brooks'
uh-huh.
song? Oh, okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
And you wrote that with...
I wrote it with Meredith. I wrote Bitch with Meredith.
Bitch. Okay, now, see, I gotta be careful. I'm sort of a G-rated... not the show, necessarily, but I just am one of those guys that I can't force myself to say these words.
Well, you can say witch.
I know, I know.
My daughter, like, I had just had a baby, and we used to call it witch.
Yeah. Well, no, what's interesting about... and you make no bones about your candor, the Serial Songwriter, which is your blog that you have
mm-hmm.
on ShellyPikin.com. People
uh-huh.
can go there and read it, and I suggest people
Thank
do.
Thank you.
You don't mince words, but you do censor it with little asterisks. When
I do.
So you're letting the people know that this is the way you might talk, but I'll be classy about this.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I won't explain that any further.
That's what I do, too, but, you know, I have a multitude of or a diversity of people that listen, and I usually like to keep this show so that my mom can listen to it and won't go, "Hey, what are you saying?"
Uh-huh.
That?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I invite you to please be as honest as you want to when talking about that, because I really
like
that.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a lot of very young aspiring songwriters, so, you know, I don't want to be vulgar in any way.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, with words and ideas, I'm going to express myself and say it how it is, but there's no reason that I need to use profanity.
No, and you know how to conduct yourself. Some people don't know any other way, and that's all right, I guess.
Uh-huh.
But that's just not me. Listen, you were speaking of that. You know, when you're trying to write a song and you're editing yourself, I'm a perfectionist and I tend to do that a lot. Is that inhibiting for a lot of maybe the young songwriters that you seem to be working with now, the or mentoring or
well. I would suggest this to anybody doing any kind of art form. As soon as you have an idea and you're sitting down to express it, don't think about editing at all. Don't think about what people want to hear. Is it going to fit in? Will I be able to sell it? How does this sound?
Yes.
Just get all your ideas out, either on a recorder, on paper, on a computer, on a canvas, whatever medium you use, and don't edit yourself. It's actually, when you're doing that, you're working from the right side of your brain. You're just getting it all out, and it could be 20 pages.
Yeah.
I've written 20 pages before of gibberish and found the title of my song or the real idea I was chasing on the last line of the last page. And it took 19 pages of I want to say the BS word, but after our last conversation,
that's okay.
I won't.
That's
took
okay.
19 pages of you know what to get to the thing I really was looking for or waiting for. So I would say get it all out and then switch to your left brain and edit it. You know, very often on a 4-hour writing session, you don't have the time to do that. So you condense it. You know, you just say to yourself, you've got to trim the fat. We've got 4 hours. Let's just get it all out in the first hour and then look at what we have. Because if you try to perfect everything from the scratch, you haven't really gotten out of your mind and your soul the ingredients you want to work with. I would, you know, hearing myself say that, I think on a canvas it would be harder because I don't know how you erase the paint.
Yes.
But let's say with words and song, that's what I would do. And when I sat down to write the book, if I had a story to tell, I would do the same thing with a chapter. I would just block it out because you lose the detail. Just what is it I want to say? What are the points and the bullets I want to say? And then I go back and fill it out. Because you lose some good stuff if you think too much too soon.
Yeah. I'm glad you caught on to what I was trying to ask. I didn't ask it very artfully, but it was... It's kind of like I sometimes think I require a slap in the face to let myself go and mm-hmm. just let my psyche and my soul spill out.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know how to do that too often. You know, it makes you feel uptight sometimes. When you're like, why isn't this coming out like I need it to?
It does. Well, you might want. What do you write on? Do you write on a?
I'm very
old-fashioned handwritten.
It is a little, yeah, oh yeah, definitely.
Okay,
yeah.
So I suggest you, do you have an iPhone?
Yes.
Okay, so there's a voice memo in an iPhone.
Okay.
And just press record and talk to it, because we could get a lot more words out. We can get words out of our mouths faster than you could write them down with your hand. And very often I'm writing down with my hand, like if I don't have a computer with me, if I'm in the supermarket and I get an idea, and by the time I get to the middle of the line, I've forgotten what the end of it was. I forgot what the idea was. If you're talking it out into a voice memo, you could get it out a lot faster.
Oh, yeah.
And there's less chance of forgetting what it was, the point was.
And don't even think about it as you're speaking, right?
Yeah. Right.
That's so obvious, but it's kind of neat when I heard somebody that I admire, Sting, had said something about 25 years ago where he said he just gets up and walks out of his house and... for about a mile and a half and just thinks, and it, all of a sudden he unblocks or gets himself
right, straight,
you know.
Well, I posted a little blog yesterday about that. I said, if you have writer's block, gotta get moving. Whenever I have writer's block, I go to Fryman Canyon. It's a little running loop up the road, and it's about a mile or two around. I just get out of my head, and by the time I'm around that loop, I must have 10 ideas, and I think it's the releasing of the commitment when you're sitting at a desk and looking at a computer, or you're sitting at a desk, or you're sitting anywhere, and you've got a pad and paper in front of you. It's almost like you're confined.
Right.
And when you get out there and your eyes are open and the world is moving in front of you, it gets your mind going. Very often I'm in a writing session, and when I write with Michelle Lewis and we're stuck, she always walks out and says she needs to use the restroom, and I know that's not where she's going. She just needs to release herself from everybody staring at where's the answer going to come from. And very often for me, that word, that line comes in the shower.
I was going to say that, yeah.
You're driving, the place where it's least convenient, because our minds are very smart.
Yeah, and it seems, why does that disappear when you get out of the shower? I don't understand. You must have something. Yeah.
The other day I had an idea in the shower, and I just, in mid-shower, I said, I'll get clean later. I turned it off, and I just went out and wrote it, because you've got to capture that moment. And I just think that ideas elude you when you're sitting there waiting for them. You have to think about it and think about it and think about it, and then ignore them.
These are great things.
They have minds of their own.
These are great things to know. How did you figure them out on your own, or did you other people that you associated with in the beginning, did they give you tips like that?
Oh, like, I think that we all realize it. Look, you know, I'm still realizing it, and sometimes you know all that, but you forget it.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I'll be, you know, writing a song, and I can't get that line, and I can't get that line, and I tell myself I'm not moving on with my day until I get that line still. And I know... intelligently, that's not how I should do it. But until I just say, oh, you know, forget it and walk away and go start cooking dinner, and then I get the line, I remember it. It's I think it's nice to be reminded. I think it's nice that we forget things that we know. It's so, because every time you remember it, it's sort of delightful.
Yes.
It's sort of like the answer keeps tapping us on the shoulder. Remember me.
And you
remember,
do know this.
Me, it happens this way, and you forgot again.
Yeah.
It's humbling.
Yeah, that's true. You do forget, and it's kind of, it reminds me of what the Good Witch is saying to Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. You had the power all along.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, sometimes somebody has
lovely.
To tell you that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So how nice. Can we talk about where you grew up and
sure.
and your journey out to L.A. and all that stuff?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, great. Because I just love to talk with people and songwriters in particular who are professional and non-performing songwriters. I guess you might fall in that category.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, those are the ones that fascinate me because you probably are comfortable hanging out behind that artist instead of up front on the stage.
Maybe. I like to perform, actually.
Okay.
In this late part of life, I'm like... But I not perform like, oh, I want to get a record deal. Just, mm-hmm. you know, I feel more comfortable in my skin just playing my songs.
Shelley Piken is back with me. What a wonderful woman. We just had a great time talking. I did, anyway, on my side. I'm having a ball because she's somebody I admire. She is very prolific, and she has got a list as long as my arm and her arm together, probably.
Aww.
Yeah. And a lot of these things, you started out in the 80s, Shelley, as a songwriter, and I understand your first thing was Taylor Dane. You got
uh-huh.
a song recorded, or two songs recorded on her album, right?
Uh-huh.
Or singles, I don't know. When I was at that event, you told a quick little story about how you went over to her house. And,
I did.
Yeah, could you tell that to people?
You know, she was making a record. I had heard some of the songs from her record, and I tried... the producer, Rick Wake, who was recording it with her, was living locally, and I was living on Long Island at the time. And I actually tried to write something that I thought was in keeping with the material I had heard that she had already recorded. This new song I wrote, I actually didn't love that much, but I thought it was sort of the same ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
But to be sure, on this cassette, and I don't even know if anybody knows what a cassette is anymore.
No, I know.
I put a second song that I had written all by myself the week before that actually came to me in a very inspired way. And this was a great lesson. I dropped the cassette outside her door one night in the rain. And the next day I found out from Rick, and I write about this in my forthcoming, with a lot more detail, but Rick called to say, you know, she didn't really get that one you wrote for her, but she loved the second one. What was that? And I thought, see, it just goes to show you when you're trying really hard to write something exactly for someone, it can never take the place of something that resonates with them because it was inspired in you. And she recorded the second song. And that was my first ever recording. This was, I think, in 1986 or 1987.
Mm-hmm.
And that album sold 3 million records worldwide. I tell
a lot
of new songwriters this because that's when albums were selling.
Uh-huh.
And I think I quit my job because even though it was an album cut, after 3 million records, I mean, I don't want to do the math. It's kind of shocking, but it allowed me to quit my job.
Wow. And
yeah.
that was like a triple platinum. You said three.
It was triple platinum.
Yeah,
and if you
wow.
wrote a whole song and you published it yourself, you were making, I don't know, what was the statutory rate back then? Maybe 7-8 cents per
record?
Oh,
yeah. I think it might have been. Yeah.
So... You know, I was off to a good start then.
That's great.
Now, yeah.
I have to be talked to like a 12-year-old when it comes to matters of that, when it's talking about 7-8 cents. It's like, I've read so many books on the subject that my head starts to hurt when I look at what songwriters went through and then what they're getting paid now.
Yeah.
And I know you have opinions on that because you put them out there publicly. So
right.
That's something that I would direct people to your site. And hopefully, now you're going to have that in your new book called Confessions of a Serial Songwriter?
Yes, Confessions of a Serial Songwriter is something I started writing a couple of years ago. I didn't even realize I was writing a book. I started just sitting down and writing about how much the business had changed because of technology, because of so many things. And look, when I started out, I was 20. Everyone else was 20. And now everyone's 20, and I'm a lot older. So it's nobody's fault. Mm-hmm. Its dynamics have changed, and I look at things differently. But technology and streaming has definitely changed the business model. I love streaming. I love having songs at my fingertips whenever I want them. Whatever I want to hear, wherever I am. It's just that my issue is more with how much we are being paid for streaming. And the problem is that we are being paid according to laws that were made in 1941. And we're living right in a digital age, and we need to update the laws. We also need to have mindfulness that copyright and a song someone writes actually belongs to somebody. A song doesn't belong to a tech company who is making it able to be accessed. So not to get too technical, but songwriters should, I wish we could all just sign petitions that come up on my Serial Songwriter Facebook page.
Right.
If you go to Facebook and like me there and put me top of your feed, you will get petitions that matter to not only songwriters, but musicians, composers, photographers, authors, because the definition of copyright is being chipped away at, and it could be that in a couple of years, we won't even own the things that we create.
Yeah.
There, in a nutshell, it lies. But my book isn't all about that, Dean. It's mostly a lot of very funny and absurd and emotional and endearing anecdotes.
Wonderful.
Of my journey over the last 20 years.
Beautiful.
In the songwriting business. And I hope it will entertain people, and I hope it will enlighten and inspire them as well.
I'm going to get it. And
well, here's the thing. Here's the beautiful story. I started writing the book. I tried to get somebody to publish it. This was, you know, it was almost like writing my first song. I didn't know what I was doing writing a book. I didn't know what I was doing. And I was going along the lines of self-publishing it. So if I were to have self-published it, it would have come out this month. Lo and behold, in the 11th hour, Hal Leonard wanted to publish my book.
Oh, very
on,
good.
On Backbeat.
Oh, great.
That's a division of Hal Leonard that is actually looking into and feeling very passionate about memoir and biography. And I still don't want to talk about it too soon, because
that's okay.
The ink is drying as we speak, and it should be pretty formal in a matter of days. But because they are publishing it and I am not self-publishing it, a marketing plan needed to get in order, and it pushed everything back. So, I mean, I think I started talking about this on Facebook a little too soon. I was a novice, and it was uncharted territory. And when I started talking about it, I thought, oh, it's going to be out in 6 months. Well, 2 years later, I mean, everything takes, you know, literary is crazy. You think a song takes a while to come out. But we are good to go, and we're going to soft launch it at the NAMM show here in Los Angeles in January.
Nice.
And they will have it in stores about probably March 1st.
Oh, good.
So we're going to start pre-sale soon, but everything's a go. And I actually think the book got a lot better because of all the technological changes that are taking place.
Yes.
And it would have been premature to put the book out a year ago and not really get into addressing the changes and what we could do and what we are waiting for. In the last year, I probably have gotten myself an education. I know so much more about very important things that matter or should matter to creators. And had I not included that a little bit more deeply in my book, it would have been a missed opportunity. So this time has given me more opportunity to shed some light on that.
Oh, great. Well, I want people to, you know, when you told me, you sent me a message saying that you were going to self, but same thing that you just told me right now.
It's
self-published, but then you got a publisher. But Hal Leonard, that's I don't see how you could have said no. That was really good.
Yeah, they're perfect. It's perfect because it's my little niche. I'm not going on Simon & Schuster, where there's books about everything. I mean, Hal Leonard is passionate about all things music. And
yes,
the fact that they have Backbeat now, which is it called an imprint or a division of Hal Leonard that is looking, you know, is wanting books about or using publishing books on that are memoir and about people's lives and their experience and their journey. It was just unbelievable how that happened.
Yeah.
It was perfect. And I think had it happened a year ago, it might have been too soon. I think the universe made me really go through full circle what I needed to go through before somebody said, yeah, we want that.
Well, I, for one, am so happy that Shelley is writing this book and so thankful that I got to talk to her. And songwriters, you are not going to want to miss the exciting conclusion of my conversation with the great Shelley Piken. Thank you so much, Shelley. www.shelleypiken.com is where you can go for all the information on her book, Confessions of a Serial Songwriter, and read that blog. She has a lot of wisdom and excellent insight on songwriting and the music biz. Until then, this is Dean Olson, the strong writer on the radio, saying to all of you, let's all put our best pens forward and be strong writers together. Go forth, have a wonderful weekend. You guys take care, and we'll talk to you next time. Goodbye.
You've been listening to Strong Writer on the Radio with your host, Dean Olson, on the Amazing Women and Men of Power, world's leading positive programming network powered by Raven International.